This young lady that is going to share her thoughts with us tonight is dearly loved by everybody that even has 1 minute with her. They fall in love. And, you know, we can say, oh, I don't want to go to work today. I've got a headache. Or, oh, I don't want to go to work today. You know, I'm just tired. This young lady, with her body giving her as much trouble as it does with Parkinson's, she gets out here and does her God work. And I bet dollar to donut, you can tell me she does it all the time at the center. Right? She does her God work by... That's kind of being who she is. It's me, I'm saying, oh, I can't walk. My foot's stuck to the floor. I can't get in out of the car. Not our Lindy. She gets in here. And you can call her whatever you want, pink head, anything, purple head. You know, she won't care. But I got to tell you, this is an example of somebody working for God. And it is not easy when your body is giving you this much trouble. But she's in here with us, and guess what? She knows every one of us love her. And if you don't love her, it's because you haven't met her. So make sure you meet her before you leave tonight. This is our Lindy. Yay!
I forgot I was supposed to be using this thing. Thank you, Millie. Well, you know, I've been topic challenged in the past. So tonight, or for tonight's talk, I asked God what I should talk about. And God's answer was, just tell him another love story. Another talk about love, which is, in my book, different than a love story, but that's neither here nor there. Love stories always have happy endings. Talking about love doesn't always have happy endings. So, bear with me. Stay with me and follow me in a story about love. Bobby is about 8 years old. I found this on the internet. Bobby's about 8 years old, and he was asked if he would give his blood to his sister because she needed it. She had some kind of blood disease. So Bobby said, okay. He was a little hesitant, but he said, okay. And they hooked his sister up to Bobby, and he gave her a transfusion. And when the blood finished pumping out of his arm into hers, he said, will I die now? Because Bobby thought that giving his blood to his sister meant he would die and she would live. He did not understand that he could live also. He didn't know that he would live, but he had enough love to give to his sister. Abraham Lincoln used a phrase that sticks with me, the full measure of devotion, in giving the Gettysburg Address. Now, I'm not going to read the whole Gettysburg Address because I could recite it. No, just kidding. 67 years ago, or however many there were years ago, that paper might not be in here. You'd be lucky if it wasn't. But it is missing. The other one is a joke page. I'll probably find it after I get past this part. The Gettysburg Address was the battlefield upon which thousands of troops died, both Union and Confederate. Gettysburg in 1872, I think, was the scene of the Gettysburg Address by Lincoln. He gave a talk that, I wish I had that part, that addressed the state of the country as it had been just after the reconciliation. The state of the country is it was to be going forward. And he talked about the freedom of the Union and the strength of the country as a whole and the heart of the country. And he said that those men who gave the last full measure of devotion did so to save try to save their friends, and that their deaths had not been in vain, because they brought the union back together again. And it's interesting that this talk wasn't guided by Lincoln's birthday, but it certainly was influenced by Lincoln's birthday, even though I didn't know it was Lincoln's birthday until after I came up with the topic. It was guided not only by Lincoln's birthday, but by the constitutional crisis that is approaching in our country. I don't need to go into detail on that, but suffice it to say that there's the risk of the union being separated again. And we can all pray for our country that that doesn't come to pass. Another story. Samuel gave his kidney to his brother. After all, they were a perfect match. Samuel knew that he could, in fact, die from the procedure if anything went wrong, but usually nothing went wrong, and so he'd be safe. But he was willing to risk his last full measure of devotion. It didn't cost him that, in fact, but he was willing to give it to his brother. Another example is where someone, Warren, say, gives his kidney to a perfect stranger. Well, of course, it wouldn't be a perfect stranger, because if it did, he wouldn't need a kidney. And a completely unknown stranger. That was a good one. I just came up with that one. This type is so small that I can't even see it, much less read it. Oh, organ donation. Another means of risking your life, risking it after your death in this case. If you give up your organs, then your body will be taken to science, and medical professionals will harvest it for the organs they need to save others' lives, perhaps, or to save others' enjoyment of life. Now, you don't always know that your body will be taken, because sometimes it might be too old and decrepit like mine, but it can happen. And if you really are interested in saving lives, sign a donor donation card. Those people give the full measure of devotion, just that they're not killed by some other accident or act of terror or fate. John 18:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Greater love hath no man than this. The last full measure of devotion. Interestingly enough, I've spent a lot of time in nursing homes and assisted living and rehab hospitals and whatnot over the course of my last few years. And a nursing home is a place where people give their all for their friends. Nurses, CNAs, certified nursing assistants, caregivers, people, residents like me, often known as inmates. And how many of you have visited someone in a nursing capacity, in, let's say, in the last 12 months? Okay, so you've known someone who was ill, or you've known someone who was in the last stages of life, or you've been there yourself because you had a fall and broke something, or. There are lots of ways you get there. But when you get there, you discover there are human beings there that care more about other human beings than your average Joe. They want to do the best for their patients, and they make an effort to do so. Nurses and therapists and doctors and People in the medical profession oftentimes fall in love with their clients. And then there go the clients. We either move away or we move away, you know what I mean? Many of us visited Ray in the hospital, and Ray's hospital experience was unique and special, but it opened up a lot of hearts and a lot of minds to the possibilities of hospitalization. Jane lived her last months in a subacute care facility, whatever that is. It's not as high as acute because it's sub. But Janie was a cute person, so I figure it all plays out. Then there are the visitors. Visiting is a lost art. Some people visit every day, some people visit every month, and some people never show up at all. And I appreciate anybody who does come and visit me. Udoka, thank you. Lori's visited me in the past. Denise has visited me. And perhaps some that I'm forgetting. But every visit is special because it means that someone cares about you. And you don't always know that someone cares about you when you don't get visitors. Like Mary. Did you get a chance to visit Mary? Don't know Mary. No, that's okay. I don't know Mary either. But Mary is 90.
I visited you in a different one, but not this one.
That's right.
I have to find this.
That's a different Mary even than I was talking about. Mary is a resident at a hospital I've been to. This particular Mary. She's 90, and her son lives locally, and he visits her every weekend, and he calls her every day. She takes medicine for pain that makes her sleepy, and she sleeps 20 hours out of every 24. It's probably not only for pain, it's probably also for sleep. Mary's a bit, she's a bit like this, you know. She doesn't always remember your name. She doesn't always know who you are. But she recognizes her son and her grandson. And she's thrilled to see them and sad when they leave. And I was Mary's roommate for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And when she was awake, we had great talks. She told me all about her family and all about her life. And I was honored to receive her story. Because part of my God work is receiving the stories of elders. It's very important to me that someone do it, and I'm honored to make the attempt. Now, there are often good reasons for why people don't visit. Spencer eschewed all of them. He visited his mother every month for years, and she lived in Bishop, California, which is about 400 miles away. He went up there every month. And as smart as Spencer was, he even picked board meetings to do so, board meeting weekends. That was a joke for people who were on the board, but not for everybody. I didn't mean to take a dig at Spencer because his mom died, but the dig was too easy. I couldn't pass it up. This is, tightly written talk. It's only one page so far. Oh, yeah. The last full measure includes the "if I knew then what I know now" category. My mom was in a nursing home for a few weeks, not months, and she didn't die there. But I didn't visit her while she was there. I went once for a few days when she was in skilled nursing, But my sister lived locally, and I thought she had a better chance at taking care of my mom and visiting than I did, because I lived, after all, 4.5 hours away. That's not good enough. I don't care how far it is. It's your mom, or your dad, or your sister, or your brother. My brother had chemo, lost a kidney, and to my credit, I did volunteer that I would give him one if he needed it, fully expecting him not to need it. So far, so good. But I didn't visit him once during the 4 months he was on chemo. And he just lives in Orange County. Well, my excuse was I didn't have a car. I know people who would drive me to Orange County. People have driven me to Orange County before. So there's no excuse. And there are reasons why it's important to visit your relatives in what could be called jail. Because it lets them be proud of you and show you off to their fellow residents. It lets them see that their families are real. And you know, my family visits me more than your family, so I'm better than you. That's real. At least it was for my mom. But when you do visit, frequency is more important than duration. In other words, you don't have to stay all day, you just have to go more often. And the sound of voice over the content of the discussion is more important. The sound of one's voice is more important than the content of the discussion. It doesn't matter what you talk about. Just go sit by their bedside, hold their hand, and tell them how much you love them. And if that doesn't work to make them feel better, nothing will. I'm begging you, visit your relatives in these kind of facilities. I ask you to give the last full measure. Well, that wouldn't be a Lindy talk if she didn't have something to say about humor. Lincoln was Wikipedia, by the way. A retired man volunteers to entertain patients in nursing homes and hospitals. He went to one hospital in Brooklyn and took his portable keyboard along. He told some jokes and sang some funny songs at patients' bedsides. Sounds kind of like me. I take my body and my feeble mind and try to make people laugh. When he finished singing songs and telling jokes, he said to the people, "I hope you get better." One elderly gentleman replied, "I hope you get better too." One day a famous man went to a nursing home to see all of his friends again and see how they were doing. When he got there, everybody greeted him because, of course, everybody knows him. This is directly aimed at Miss Millie. One man he noticed didn't come up to him or say anything to him. So later he walked up to the man and asked him, "Do you know who I am?" And the old man replied, "No, but you can go to the front desk and they'll tell you." This is aimed at me. Jail, in a kind of scary way. Put the seniors in jail and the criminals in the nursing home. This way, the seniors would have access to showers, hobbies, and walks. They'd receive unlimited free prescriptions, dental and medical treatment, wheelchairs, etc., and they'd receive money instead of paying it out. They would have constant video monitoring so they could be helped instantly if they fell or needed assistance. Bedding would be washed twice a week, and all clothing would be ironed and returned to them. It's amazing it happens that way. A guard would check on them every 20 minutes and bring their meals and snacks to their cell. They would have hearty family visits in a suite built for that purpose. They would have access to a library, weight room, spiritual counseling, pool, and education. Ample clothing, shoes, slippers, PJs, and legal aid would be free on request. Private secure rooms for all, plus an exercise outdoor yard with gardens. Each would have a PC or a PC and a TV, radio, and daily phone calls. There would be a board of directors to hear complaints, and the guards would have to have a code of conduct that would be strictly adhered to. Since there are older people in the rooms, fewer guards would be needed, saving the taxpayers millions. The criminals would get cold food, be left all alone and unsupervised. Lights off at 8 p.m. and showers once a week. That's the senior rule right now. Live in a tiny room, pay $5,000 a month, and have no hope of ever getting out. I'd swap for that, wouldn't you? For the alternative to that? And here are some texting codes for senior citizens. BYOT, bring your own teeth. IMMO, is my hearing aid on? LMDO, laughing my dentures out. OMSG, oh my, sorry, gas. ROFLACCU, rolling on the floor laughing and can't get up. I recently got crushed by a pile of books. Yesterday I fell and the books fell on top of me. But I have only my shelf to blame. Yeah, really. Just went to an emotional meeting. Even the cake was in tears. Ba-dum-bum. Pampered cows produce spoiled milk. You're not fat, you're just easier to see. You know you're ugly when it comes to a group picture and they hand you the camera. I never forget a face, but in your case, I'd be happy to. I want to die peacefully in my sleep, like my grandfather, not screaming and yelling like the others in the car. Oh my goodness.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Boo. Boo. Don't cry, it's only a joke. Knock, knock. Weevil. Weevil, weevil, rock you. Knock, knock. Turnip. Turn up the volume, it's my favorite song. Knock, knock. Juno. Juno, I love you, right? Aww. Knock, knock. Needle. Needle, little love right now. Aww. Knock, knock. Ketchup. Ketchup to me and I will tell you. And some songs from our era. These were some of the artists of the 60s and 50s and some 70s were revising their hits with new lyrics to accommodate baby boomers so they can sell all their records over again. They just changed the names and the lyrics of the song slightly. Like Bobby Darin sings Splash Splash, I Was Having a Flash. Herman's Hermits. Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Walker. Oh, we have fun when we do this, don't we? Ringo Starr, Get By With a Little Help from Depends. Boy, when you've been where I've been for the last year, these are all really funny. The Bee Gees, How Can You Mend a Broken Hip? Roberta Flack, The First Time Ever I Forgot Your Face. Paul Simon, 50 Ways to Lose Your Liver. Procol Harum, A Whiter Shade of Hair. Once, twice, three times to the bathroom. The Commodores. It's a top hit. And I thought about this a long time before I decided to say it. Willie Nelson, On the Commode Again. Tony Orlando of Tony Orlando and Dawn, Knock Three Times on the Ceiling If You Hear Me Fall. You know, nobody's come to get me when I've fallen. I make a huge thump on the ground. Nobody comes until I call them. The guy downstairs must be bone deaf because it shakes the building. Of course, thinking the building shaking was why I fell. I'm hallucinating strangely, and it took the style of moving the bookshelf back and forth, and I was hanging onto the bookshelf for grim death, trying to keep it from falling over. And then I fell over. Go figure. Okay, so what have we learned? We've learned I can give a talk in 20 minutes. We've learned that there are lots of ways to give the full measure of devotion. That it doesn't include death in every case. That it's a way to give back or to give ahead. It's a way to live that makes you a kinder, gentler, more compassionate person. I do have one more story because, of course, the full measure of devotion was a term used for the armies of the North and South. And the armies are where people are always willing to give their all should the need arise. And we credit our troops, we appreciate them much more than we did in the past. But I do have a story for this one. It was a day like any other day. Ken and PJ, Ken is my brother-in-law and PJ is my sister, watched as two uniformed Marines came to the door. And yeah, they were there for that. My brother-in-law's son had been killed in Fallujah in April of 2004. And they were there to give them the news. But Alan, Staff Sergeant Alan K. Walker, made a huge impact on the people that he met, and he made a huge impact on the people that found his place on the web after he died. If you look up Alan Kendall Walker, USMC, on the internet, you will find half a dozen sites that are just why I loved Sergeant Walker. Or how Sergeant Walker helped me live my life better as a Marine. Or how Sergeant Walker may help me live my life better as a man. He was a great man. He was 28 years old. And he died doing what he loved. And doing it well. Because he was, in fact, trying to protect his platoon when he was shot and killed by rebels in Fallujah. The sports technology building at USMC is named Walker Hall in his honor. And I'm proud to say that he was my step-nephew-in-law. It took me a while to figure that out, by the way. He's my sister's stepson. That makes him my step-nephew-in-law. But everybody knows someone who serves the country. Think of them, pray for them. Honor them. Because they truly give the last full measure of devotion. And each of us can do likewise in our own way. And thanks for going on the ride with me. And for giving me this time.